Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, I guess it's still morning. Good morning, everybody. It's Keith Everett here, broadcasting from Business Radio X studios in Pensacola. This is Pensacola Business Radio, and I'm joined today with two fantastic characters who I think you're going to enjoy hearing some of their stories. I've got Greg Guzman here with
GMED Interactive.
Yeah, man. We were just talking about, is a whole lot more than what I ever thought it was, right?
Well, yes, sir. And, digital marketing from Google AdWords to social media to finding a need for the customer.
Yeah, in a world that I had no clue about until maybe 2 years ago. So
Right.
And Diana, you are here with some food, so you today have won already. Greg has a gold star ready for you when we leave.
Okay.
But this stuff looks really good, and it's paninis and such.
It is.
And I don't know about you, but being a former chef, one of my favorite sandwiches were always paninis.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. It's like pizza, but stuffed, and you could do whatever.
And it's nice and warm.
I know, right? Crispy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got the marketing guy here and the chef guy here. By the time you leave, by the time you leave, your customers should be mouth watering and ready to go, right?
Yeah.
So cool. All right, man. Drop it on me. How'd you get here, Greg?
Well, quick outline, I guess. I spent so many years in radio and television as a marketing person and on air. I noticed back around 2006, 2007 that many of my clients were starting to ask more questions about online type of stuff, about websites, emails, and how do I manage all of this. And I always set myself up as a consultant so I could help from the top down.
You don't get bored, right?
Exactly. And so with the advent of social media, when it really clicked, I had posted something for the radio station I was working at the University of West Florida. And, you know, we were member supported, a lot of listener donations and all that kind of stuff. So I put something out about a particular underwriter sponsor. Mm-hmm. A few minutes later, one of our fans liked that post. And 10 minutes after that, called the station to renew his membership to the station. And so
That light bulb.
And then
right?
It really went off. It's like, wow, that was content marketing. Because prior to that, public radio, the only time we really talked to the audience was during the pledge drives or any kind of special event. But now we had this really great platform. And so that gave me the initial idea that we have to catch this wave or else it's going to swallow us.
Yeah.
And that's as far as marketing.
And that's where we are now, though. I mean, look at it. Right. I mean, there isn't you don't even have to be in business. You just want to exist in any social platform out there. You have to have content.
Right.
You know, and you can create your own by all means without guidance, but it's always highly suggested that maybe you have some.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, I have many clients who, and people who I just consult one time, is that they've had this aversion to Facebook. They've had an aversion to any of these platforms. But then I tell them, do you know that people are already talking about your business on this platform to the point that Facebook has already created an unofficial business page? And when you tell them that, you're like, oh, wow, we've really missed the boat because there's people speaking well and maybe not so well about you.
Yeah.
And so you need to engage them. You need to tell them, hey, I'm sorry. You know, you had a bad experience. Please come back. Or if you had a great experience, please tell your friends. So that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, all business is being done and promoted through all these platforms, right?
Exactly. And then my co-guest here, you know, all search and all marketing is now hyper-local.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not about...
And mobile,
exactly.
Google's really important. Like,
yes, they are, Diana.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that, though, until just this past week.
Sometimes we don't like to admit how important they are, right?
Yeah.
She's like, dang it.
Well, Diana, you know, one of the things you just said is that, you know, it's Google's world and we just play in it.
Kind of,
but the thing is they are trying. You know, what made Google so great? Because if you remember back in the 90s, Yahoo was the thing.
Yeah.
And then when this little Google guy came out, Serge and Larry came out with that their whole thing is about delivering the right content at the right time to the right person. That's my slogan, by the way. And when I talked to Google about that, they hate the fact that I came with that first. So
they don't ding you for it, though, do they?
They didn't. Yeah, right. But the thing is, so for someone who is in in the culinary and restaurant business, for you, I mean, people, if they don't like it, they're going to review it. And if they do like it, they're still going to review it.
Especially with food, man. Yeah, everyone is a critic.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So how did you discover Google and how it helped you or not helped you?
Well, right now it's the fact that I just have to get the name changed and everything for the location because it was a previous location. And so since it's a brand new place, I didn't realize that was up to me. So it's been kind of,
Google doesn't have time to decide who lived here last week and who lives here tomorrow.
You know? Which makes sense to me now, but I mean, I haven't thought about that at all until last week.
Right, and until you do, you don't exist, basically.
Yes.
We just moved studios here for Business Radio X, as you can tell, because it took you a minute to get here.
Yes.
And we had to do the same thing. So some of the stuff you always forget, even when you're moving houses or homes, you know, transfer the trash to the power, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Then when you're doing a business, it's not just going to the post office anymore.
No.
I had nine media platforms that I had to go and change the business and then verify. And then, you know, of course, some of them wouldn't even work if I didn't call Google first.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things as a consultant, you know, what I try to, you know, tell people is that you really need to come up with a checklist, you know, and I had to live by my own words too, you know, saying, okay, if we make a change location, you know, make that checklist. It might be buried. You might not use it for 10 years. But it's going to help.
It's going to happen one day, right?
Yeah. Right. It's going to help. And, you know, hopefully if you're growing or you have a franchise and you're growing it, you know, that's first thing to let Google know because, once again, all search is local. And with mobile technology, Google knows where you are. Mm-hmm. And people worry about the NSA. We need to worry more about the technology companies. But with Google, they're going to know somebody says, I want, you know, somebody as specific says, I want a panini sandwich near me.
Right. I need to be that person.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm working on it.
So I know the guy, by the way.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I definitely need to talk to you.
And I think he likes paninis.
Okay. So,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Man, so, okay, so as you went from the broadcasting and the TV and all that stuff, I'm amazed at the learning curve that comes along with Google. And I don't think it's unintentional. I think it's fully intentional, right? Because obviously it's data and it's you want to protect it, but the way that it calculates, you know, that's secret code for like we're the coolest and pay me, right? Yeah, I get it. But it's a hard thing to wrap your head around.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, what really helped for me, and this is, you know, for all the other entrepreneurs who will listen at some point, the key for me was that I had people who believed in the ideas I had at the time. Mm-hmm. I was following technology and I, you know, in my little radio box and TV box too, it's just, man, there's so much more I can do. And so when I started talking to some of my clients, when I was thinking about starting the business, I went to people who I really trusted, who had built their own businesses time and time again, got bought out, got, you know, all that stuff. And then they said, you know, I like your idea, but I'll only pay you if you start your own business. And that's how I got started. And so it took a couple of people in business. We don't take chances. We take risks.
Sure.
Yep.
So,
but you had people that were ready to pay you, but you had to go take the risk first.
Right. Exactly.
Like, so literally take the risk and here's the money.
Exactly. And then, and then what ended up happening is, eventually, one of my clients took me in 30 hours a week and, he's an auto glass shop here, and the
you can mention his name too, by the way. Yeah, okay. Shout outs all day long, dude.
Barry Lintner at Lloyd's Glass, and so he took me in, and we free steaks, guys.
When you do the,
by the way, the steaks are actually pretty good.
Yes, yes,
because the broken glass at the Wahoo Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it always gets mentioned to him. Yeah. And
was that your idea?
That was his.
Okay.
And so I wish it was mine, but one of the things we literally took a whiteboard. You know, just 4 feet long, 5 feet long. And I drew out everything that I was contemplating. And there would be people who would come in from other company sales reps and say, what the heck is that? I said, this is world domination in Northwest Florida for my guy. And so it worked out. So then I wanted to do more on my own, and he was fine with that. Sure. He's still a client. But now I've been, with his generosity of time and money, of course.
Sure.
I was able to prove that I can do this in various verticals.
Right.
And so now I wanted to be vertical agnostic in terms of helping people,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But people who stay in verticals, that's fine. I mean, you know, there are certain verticals.
Yeah, find
your
niche.
If you know it well, do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's how I came about. It was just that, you know, trial and error and just reading a heck of a lot of stuff that these thought leaders were talking about.
Yeah.
I discovered which ones were not the smartest thought leaders,
right,
by experience. And then I realized, okay, these people kind of have their pulse,
yeah,
on what's really happening. So that's how, it was really trial and error, but it was a lot of studying too.
Well, I was saying, you know, let's face it, at this point, we really are talking about online and digital and social marketing, right? I mean,
right.
I don't want to get shot in the head or beat up when I leave here today when I say it, but the print media stuff, it's got its place, but it is in no way is measurable nor as effective fast rate on return that you see these days. So I can imagine that Google doesn't exactly have a whole bunch of how-tos in the sense of their dialogue and their language and their logic, right? So you got to sort of apply it and get it from, you know, forums or just
exactly.
The school of hard knocks, right?
Right. No, exactly.
So, and again, this was all new world to me until probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. But talk to the people about, because I don't think they understand. You can't just say, oh, create a pretty ad and put it up on Facebook. It doesn't work that way.
Nope.
You can't just take your website and say, hereiam.com, and the rest of the world's going to find me.
Exactly. You have to create the content. So, for example, you know, my fellow guest here, Diana,
she's going to be our experiment today.
Yeah, I know. So. Well,
she brought the food, though. She started this.
Well, you know, there's, you know, when it comes to food, everybody, you know, everybody wants to go somewhere for lunch. Mm-hmm. And so how do you break that static? You know, we're competing, you know, mm-hmm. we're all
right.
In all businesses, digital marketing, you know, we're competing with
digital marketing. Yeah, like 5,000 ads a day or something,
yeah,
that we see.
So the key is, you know, for anything, is that the people who have a service like yours, who can see who the client is, you can really get to see who your customer is.
Yeah.
You know, you can start to get a picture. So that's where you start. That's why I tell folks, is like, who is scratching that check or putting that debit
right.
card in there for you? And so, you know, if you have, if you're a bathroom remodeler, you know, you're looking at a particular clientele who's getting ready to drop 35 large, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm looking for lunch and I'm looking for a sandwich, how does Diana reach that person
right.
to say, at least give me a try, you
yeah.
know? So that's the key. It's literally trying to find out who is that decision maker, wherever it is.
Oh, yes.
You know, who's going to go to
the
store?
The meeting maker. That's
yeah.
who I look for when
yeah.
I go.
Right.
Because I do a lot of foot marketing as well, and I think that to build a good and profitable business, you need to be genuine.
Sure.
And so I try to be genuine with our customers. I know a lot of them by name. I pretty much know what they want to eat when they come in, you know, and I go and I shake people's hands that are around me. I go and I meet the people who are running the businesses who are going to come eat with me. I go
yeah.
meet them in
yeah.
their environment, not necessarily in mine.
Exactly.
So I do a lot of that too, but I do.
But you are only one person, right?
Right.
And
so digital could help a lot.
Well, and I think that's what I was getting at, because it completely changes when you start, you know what your ideal customer is, but then you have to A, find them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
B, target them in a world that they're already targeted 5,000 times a day.
Yep.
Create something that inspires them or grabs them or gets their attention. And then you need to figure out a strategy of whether that's happening or not, right?
Exactly. And with digital marketing, there's so many ways now to measure something.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it really is, you know, we've been discussing this off
sure.
mic about, you know, lead generation through phone calls,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's through an ad on, you know, a search platform or on Facebook or Twitter, what have you.
Yeah.
So it's measurable. And at the end of the day, you know, if you speak at the very, you know, at the 50,000 foot level, okay, are we getting more sales? Okay. That's the first barometer,
yeah.
right? The general
right.
one. But then you say, well, we want to do a promotion on a particular type of sandwich, panini, right? And then we can really start narrowing
mm-hmm.
down. well, maybe people don't like this, or maybe we didn't reach them.
Yeah.
You know, that those are the kind of conversations. And sure. Unfortunately for small businesses, you know, and I'm a small business, we're a small business,
yeah.
is that sometimes we don't have the budget, mm-hmm. you know, really to exhaust, to say, okay, yeah. well, I just spent $1,000. I got maybe 200 back on that. I can't afford to be, keep, you know, mm-hmm. that yeah. kind of low return. So it really is tough. It's
but there's strategy to that too, though. I mean, there's yes, the there organic is. Piece to all of this and the foot mm-hmm. traffic like you're doing. And of course, all the, this was the beauty of the social media platforms, right? It's like,
right.
I don't necessarily need a huge over budgeted PR firm to work it out and tell yeah. people to come hang out, right?
Exactly.
We can do it the old school way, like, you know, Smith down the road's got four lambskins and I'm going to trade them, you know, three trout kind of thing.
Yep, but exactly.
It worked that way. So, but I've been just absolutely amazed at how difficult it is to really wrap your head around what you do on that back end.
Yeah. What's really interesting, it took several iterations to finally come up with, you know,
language that everybody could wrap their head around, right?
Right. Yeah. The language. And then it's a learning experience. And because some people do not want to be involved in technology, and those mm-hmm. are the toughest folks. And I'm not speaking bad about them. It's just the fact that just go ahead and do it for me, which is fine. You like a client like that. But however, if something goes wrong, you know, yeah. they didn't want to be involved. Yeah. And then there's some folks who are very hands on, and that has its own strengths and weaknesses. But the whole thing, what it, kind of drills down to is what every business wants, whatever we call it, it's the sale.
Uh-huh.
It's like, are we seeing
success?
Are
yeah,
we
money.
Seeing growth?
Yeah.
Right. If you're
yeah.
seeing growth and
not
so,
declare bankruptcy, not close the doors.
Exactly.
Not have to change my address 5 times on Google.
Yeah. 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 So it really comes down to having, so really, it's trying to find exactly what they need. You know,
yeah.
so when you mentioned print earlier, there's these big companies now that are offering all these services, but you know, it can be problematic
yeah.
because the people who are selling it are not the people who are running it.
Correct.
You know, and so that's,
and neither one of them are asking the correct questions.
Exactly.
I've had that experience.
Yeah. So when we think about, in the long term for somebody, whether it's a restaurateur, whether it's somebody else, it's finding out what they know
yeah.
and what you want to do. And if we know what your audience, who your audience is, I don't have to say, okay, look, you got to get on all, there's some people who come in, you got to get on all 10 platforms. No.
Yeah.
You know, I have, if you notice that your audience is 75% women, well, I think we need to market on Pinterest,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and Pinterest because.
That's one I don't have. All right, cool.
I don't either, but I've thought about it just the other day.
Well, just to kind of give you the perspective here with Pinterest. Mm-hmm. Here's the stuff that you have to keep studying on. And so with Pinterest, most you have Google, which is a search engine.
Sure.
But the other search engines out there are social media platforms in and of themselves.
Right.
So when you have like Pinterest a couple of years ago started a campaign to get more men on there, but they were happy with the women, of course, but they were 75% women. So they wanted to expand that market for advertising. And so right now, most women will start on either Etsy
yep.
or Pinterest to start looking for a product or service.
Okay, so I get his statistics are true because I do not have those two.
Yeah.
And I don't think I want any more logins. So you're safe, Etsy and Pinterest.
Right. And so, and that's just the thing. And so, you know, if you're looking for a younger set, you know, Instagram, you yeah. know, it gives immediacy. And
I had to do Snapchat yesterday. My daughter right. had to show me how to make
yeah,
it
Snapchat.
Work.
And then, you know, and then of course, Instagram.
I never thought I was going to be that guy, right? Because I give my mom a hardest time because
yes.
she can't find the start button for Windows, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. you know, Instagram is owned by Facebook.
Correct.
And then the second largest search engine is YouTube, which is owned by Google.
Right.
So, you know, there's lots of ways to market. And so I would just bring that up because search engines today, when you look at the percentage of what Google actually has for all search,
right.
It's actually down to somewhere around 35%. But when you look at just search engines, it's still the granddaddy. It's still
sure.
like 65%. But now with social media platforms, they're not the only search game in town.
Well, in that case, just even for the texting and communicating, you know, I mean, my goodness, texting and phone are enough. Now I've got a text, phone, Facebook message, maybe Google Hangout, maybe Skype, Right. Maybe, you know, I've got some clients that do this, some clients that do that, but you got to have the integration because there's business that has happened on every single one of those platforms from filling out every single one of those profiles, right? And, right? And actually taking the time to do what has not only been suggested by you, but multiple content writers and branders is just put it out there. Not everything has to be 100% and fully functioning, you know, the Grandwa Facebook page, but Google Plus needs to have your info on it because there are people that use that, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly. And if you did Google Plus for anything, it's just the fact that when I suggest Google Plus to folks who kind of follow it, you know, in business, they go, well, I always hear jokes about there's hardly anybody on there. Well, there's millions of people on there, but they don't spend anywhere near the time they do on Facebook. However, when you're posting stuff on Google's platform,
you're getting noticed.
Yes. I mean, you're feeding the beast. And so that's why I always say we have to start with Google Plus.
Yeah.
Because you're telling Google everything about you. It's collecting all that information, you know, when you have your business profile on there, but then you start promoting on that. And it's a great optimization tool. I mean, it's Google. So it's very
simple. So there's
simple.
Greg's freebie for today, guys.
Yeah.
Just don't say he never gave you nothing. If you have a business and you do not have your stuff filled out on Google, fill it out.
Yeah, and then Bing, too. You have Bing Places, Bing Local.
Yeah, okay, so Bing I haven't touched.
Now, do you you just go to Google.com and what? I mean, you have to, like, sign in, or do you...
You're going to call this guy.
Yeah, we can talk later, Dan. But the thing is, just for the audience out there, it's just that you can create a Gmail account.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have
and
that.
Then when you go to your Gmail account, the upper right-hand corner of your dashboard, you see that little checkerboard?
Mm-hmm.
That's all the Google apps that are there. So that's your Google Business, Google Plus, your
walk through them and fill in the information Google where you can.
Oh, okay.
Google Drive. It gives you something like 15 gigs of free space to store stuff.
Yeah.
So they really bundle a lot of free stuff in there. And then when you get to a certain place, then they start charging you. But it's you have to really get up there with a lot of bandwidth. But
that's the part
that today.
That's the part that I think a lot of small business owners don't understand that you've just added some value to them with is that, you know, you may not have $5,000 a month or $2,000 or $1,000 to spend through the Google AdWords and marketing platform. But if you did some of those basic things and you're had your social media and your and a decent business, obviously, and a nice product and ethics and all that good stuff.
Exactly.
But you get a fair amount of organic traffic.
Yes, sir.
You know, once I filled everything out on our end for the Business Radio X Studios here in Pensacola, you know, we weren't doing SEO stuff or any of that, and we still don't actually today. But we got some really good just organic traffic for posting in all of those places when we did. You know, having some of the language so that Google knew what it was. But mainly I filled out the address and the phone number and the time we were open. Like seriously, across a bunch of these platforms. Now we're using some more than others. But man, I can directly say that even if you don't have money, you got to do it.
Yeah, there's always going to be something. It's once again, it's money, time, money.
Yeah.
And so you have some businesses that I know, people I've known for a long time, still write out a handwritten, you know, receipt.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, wow.
You just want to shake them, don't you?
Yeah. And I just want to say, just get, you know, there's plenty of online solutions where you can just swipe the card, you know, because sometimes they might not have cash.
I think it's funny when they say, can I just write you a check? I'm like, well, you could just pay the link in the email.
right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, who's writing checks still, you know? So,
there's a lot of things to consider, but the whole thing is, you know, even just getting trained, there's a lot of how to's out there.
Yeah.
And
YouTube will have to you on a how to.
Everything, man. YouTube has everything. And
so, real quick, because, I mean, you're local here. You've got clients all over the place, though, right?
Yes,
and,
sir.
And when you said verticals, because most people don't know that, what are you really specializing in, or do you have, or is it?
Yeah.
Grab and go, and we'll take a little bit of everything.
Well, it really depends. I really like, right now, due to where I got my start, is auto glass and really learning that business. But I also, I like health. Don't have any doctors or that type of thing yet. But one of the other things that I really enjoy is, why is it escaping me right now? But it's auto glass. No, but it's auto glass. But there, anything auxiliary, like there's window tinting companies and stuff like that. You know, of course, we've talked about automotive in the past. But really, I've tried to stay as agnostic as I can, because I've helped companies from diverse as auto glass to fitted table covers,
right?
You know, and doing e-commerce, optimizing their e-commerce platforms. And so, basically, it's a basic principle. And what I like about keeping it so wide open is that it gives me the opportunity to learn more, yeah. learn the lingo.
The tactic can be used in strategy across whatever business.
Right. And the whole thing is, everybody has to remember, is all search is local.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a national company. Okay.
Sure.
And I helped a national company that their national SEO was awful, but I said, where are your clients at? Well, you know, they're in Dallas. They're in this places.
Yeah.
So let's aim for those places. They're already telling you, and then go from there, you know? So
do you have room for more clients?
Yeah, always growing, right? We all, and our friends here, we always have room for growth. It's just, I was talking to one of your friends, our mutual friend, business partner, Calvin.
Yeah.
And one of the things is just, it's how you manage the growth is really what happens.
Execution is the end result.
Yeah, man.
That is the killer right there.
Yeah. Calvin said something earlier to me before I came into the studio, and he mentioned that, okay, if you promised, should you have promised something in 7 days instead of four?
Right. Right.
You know, so it's those kind of things.
And it's a small business owner or any business owners.
Yeah.
It happens, dude, all day long. I mean,
exactly.
I shoot for the stars and I shoot for the moon, and then you end up in the stars, which is how it goes. But yeah, my 5 minutes is really 15. And those that know me know that my 5 minutes is 15. So.
Right.
Real quick, I just so people can understand how easy it is to maybe even just get some answers to basic questions. What's it like? What's an onboarding process for a client with you? Do you have, you know, hey, call me. We can answer a few questions, obviously, right? Yeah.
Right.
Or we've got a, you know, how's it work? Package A, package B?
Okay. Yeah. It first starts off, if they're out of town, then we do a lot of phone calls we share screens and stuff. Typically, the first thing is to discover what they have and don't have.
Right.
And the problem with some small business owners, they're very reactive, so they spray and pray, and now you're trying to get them to focus. And so the biggest onboarding challenge for any client and for me is the fact that, okay, who created your LinkedIn account? Oh my goodness, it was created under a different type of email.
Right.
It wasn't your business email or personal email that you have access to anymore. You had a disgruntled employee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it is quite literally cleaning up a mess.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, who, you know, where are you hosting your website? Where are all these things? So we know that we start trying to move these pieces together where everything's at. And so that's the toughest part. But the onboarding, if somebody already has that all together, it literally is just saying, okay, what do you have?
Right.
Okay. What are your goals? What are you trying to do? And then based on that, we say, okay, here are the packages that we think, you know, customize it for them, saying, so for example, talking with Diana here is that if she finds out that 75% of her clientele are women, whether in the workplace, you know, scheduling a catering event or just women walking through, then, you know, like I said earlier, we would say, well, let's aim for Pinterest. Let's see if we can get some stuff moving there. And then how do we separate you from people who are very closely related to your business? You know, so, okay, I don't want to just say a sandwich shop, but so we say, okay, what else? What kind of?
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you might find some surprises when you do that kind of investigations.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's stuff. And then of course, you know, there are things that until you actually sit there with them for an hour inside, you know, at their office and seeing things going on. What happened with my autoglass guy?
Yeah.
His original website, when I helped redesign it the first time, we just talked about windshield repair, windshield replacement, and fixing your leaky sunroof. And when I got in there, oh my God, you do all these other things?
Right.
So we redesigned the site again.
And you do them mobile, right? And
right,
you're
yeah.
not even in the shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you might have mentioned that.
Yeah, so we wrote all that content out. You know, we contented it to let everybody know that we're just more than just windshield replacement. Even though that's the bread and butter, there's a whole lot more out there. So it really is, because the owner is focused on a certain product, right? Okay, so what we try to find out is, all right, this might only be 10% of your business.
Right. Okay, but it's 90% of your actual revenue.
Right, right. And so we can say, well, where else do you want to grow? What part of your business do you want to grow? More right. catering, so in case right. you know, or is it something else that I don't know about your industry? So that's how we try to identify where the opportunities are that, you know, first of all, it's their pain points.
Yeah.
They'll tell you, you know, man, I wish I can do this. All right. So now that starts getting, so that really it's just listening. What I found, you know, from people who are trying to get in this business is just literally listen, ask a couple of questions and just listen about, because I like to hear stories.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're someone who is building a successful business, you have a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah.
The times you fell on your face, the time you bought back up.
Especially in the food industry, right? Right? Oh my gosh, dude. Like you get everybody else, you guys all have stories. I'd say other than probably the military, we've got the coolest stories,
dude.
We've got pirates, we've got characters, we've got assassins, we've got criminals, and we've got good people, we've got, you know, creatives, and oh man, every freaking walk of life in the hospitality industry. So
you got it.
Yeah. And so those are the kind of things the you know, the stories from the owners or the managers is really trying to find out what that pain point
can
is.
Can I fill your ear?
Well, aren't you still doing a book?
Yeah. Well, it's here. Yeah. We do Foodie Life Radio here and, share of stories of all the local restaurants owners and piratry and all of those things that happen in the, on the back end. And I have learned through Business Radio X to listen. And for those of you that do not understand what it means to listen, when I say that, look it up, because it is a lot different than what everybody thinks it is.
Sure.
And you hear a lot of things, and like you said, the pain points. And I think that's probably got to be one of the number one things that I can pull from a conversation.
Well, that's one of the first lessons I learned back when I got into the marketing side of broadcasting. And this was in the mid-90s. And I went with I went on a call with this woman who is like way experienced. She was 50 years old. And, you know, to me, I was 30 at the time. So, you know, I went in with her and she watched me and she said, never do that again. And cause I pulled out the packet, you know, and then started talking and stuff.
You did the whole like
salesman spiel. And then she says, watch me. We went on another call, never took anything out. Just talked, listened, and next thing you know, she had a sale. The person had wanted to talk to us, but she listened to everything. She goes, this is what I'm going to do. I'll have it for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
It was that easy. And so I learned it right then. I said, okay, Greg, I have a very active mouth. You know, I want to talk a lot. But over the years, as you get, you know, more seasoned, it's just about saying the one question, go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then.
Mm-hmm. Very
cool.
They
tell you everything.
All right, man. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you or find you, where do we send them?
GmediaInteractive.com. And you can find me. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm everywhere.
Twitter.
Yeah. And of course.
Are you on ET and the other ones too? The whatever you said that were the female based again.
Pinterest.
Etsy and Pinterest.
I'm on Pinterest. And I have to say I'm not on Instagram, but I'm on Vine and Twitter and all that stuff. So
see, now I'm bringing back my Instagram game.
Yeah.
It's
Instagram is awesome. I just haven't used it for myself simply because unlike an autoblast.
Because you're busy doing 5,000 other people's, right?
Well, you're right. But the thing is, you know, we're digital marketing. Unless I have a new design or something, what am I going to share? Like, it's easier to share a sandwich or somebody happy, you know, with a Coke and
or a free t-shirt.
Exactly.
Like I got today.
Yeah, exactly. That's more visual.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough. So I just concentrate on the ones that, you know, kind of put me in front of other folks.
So here's what we're going to do for you today, because we care.
Okay.
I'm going to take a picture of you eating their sandwiches, and I will put it on my Instagram account for you.
Yeah, you got it.
And I'll hashtag you since I can't really tag you.
Yeah,
so
gotcha.
Cool, man. Well, hang out with us, obviously. But,
yeah.
And always fun to hear the stories of making other people's ideas come to life.
Well, you know, for those of us who, I'll say this, since I also know you from outside the radio program, you know, we're doing some really cool stuff, in our own realms.
Yep.
And some of it overlaps, but you know, when we look at, you know, for a lot of us here, we're looking outside of Pensacola for our building our businesses. So, I'm very thankful that we have that opportunity to do that,
yep.
you know, with some of the cool technologies that we're working with. So I just thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, man.
And I had a chance to meet Diana.
I know, and we're going to get to eat.
Yeah.
So the only thing these two guys out here who aren't on microphone have been waiting for all morning long. So
I'm surprised y'all haven't already dug in.
Well, we were going to give you the ability to debut because this is brand new for here, right? And this is, I'll let you tell the story.
We're 8 days in. Today's our eighth day.
Really? So, 8 days in of being open.
That's right.
How long did it take you to get it open?
I think I felt like a year, probably like days.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I came up with the concept on a Sunday afternoon. Went in for a meeting on a Monday afternoon and said, okay, so let's do it. And then we shot, you know, for an opening date of the 18th and I made it. The sign wasn't there until the Tuesday. So
concept, idea.
Yeah. Logo, colors.
Really?
Everything. Yeah. It was
you're
so much
in the wrong
fun.
Industry.
Well, is this a franchise or?
No. Yeah. This is completely 100% my husband and I's idea.
Yeah. Wow. That's, now see, that's cool, man.
I've had the inside track, so I'll have to say that when she told me at first, I was like, okay, let's see. Let's see. There has not been a panini place probably since Panera Bread, but even like back in the day, because most of them, you know, they changed their menu so much.
Yeah.
But man, there was a couple local ones. I want to say they were downtown, but it was like years. And by years, I mean like 15 or 20 years ago. But I haven't had an awesome, decent panini in a long time. And as a chef, those are the best because you can dip them. Mm-hmm. You can put whatever on them.
Yep.
Like those were the things we'd make for staff lunch because you could do all the mixes of whatever's left in the fridges that wasn't going to sell. Yeah. I'm living in your world, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And it was cheap, right? I could feed my staff without having to lose an arm or a leg. So congratulations.
Well, when we were thinking about it, I said to him, I said, well, why don't we just bring back the old stuff? Because not only do we have paninis, but we have cold clubs too. So we have like the actual old style ham and turkey bacon club, you know.
Triple
we have
decker.
I brought you guys one. We have the
crack it open, man. She's talking and we're still sitting here not even eating, man. We don't even have to talk right now.
We do the BLT.
You guys went in on this? Yeah. We're going to get you some fantastic reviews. Watch this.
Then I also brought for taste testers, there's coleslaw and then the homemade potato salad.
Okay, so here's the deal. No smacking in the microphones, right?
No, I got you.
Now, on this panini plate, we have the chicken gouda melt, turkey bacon ranch, and then I brought a chicken salad.
What? Mm-hmm. Chicken gouda melt. Okay, so these are all your recipes?
Yeah.
You and your husband's?
Yes, they are. AJ.
So
he's at the store. He can't ever break away.
What's up, AJ? We miss you, man, but we're going to dig your food here. So, okay, so let me see one of the menus.
Yeah,
so,
you got it.
A location?
We are at 5046 Bayou Boulevard. Small Cakes is our neighbor, and Starbucks is right to the left of us.
Yeah.
It's about a mile and a half from my house.
Yeah. See? Do you deliver?
And you're in a great location.
I will deliver caterings, obviously, with a day's notice. However, we have the awesome City Spree doing our delivery,
fantastic,
which has actually taken off very well. We just started yesterday.
Good.
I've had 5 or 6 deliveries already, so it's
awesome.
Going very well.
And if I want it delivered, how do I deliver? How do I order?
When you deliver.
Yeah, right? How do I order?
Go to cityspree.com, or you can even call them 512-1199.
Okay.
Option 2, I believe, and RJ will answer the phone,
usually.
And if you want to schedule a catering, then you just call the store. So 850-696-2810. We've already started those as well. I do have a catering menu that's being published now, so I should have it by the end of the week.
And website?
Website's also in the middle of being created, but I've already bought the domain.
I think it's great. 21 days out of the gate, gone.
Yeah.
Open 8.
I mean, look at all this, man, with all the collateral, the printed stuff. That's amazing.
The color scheme's really cool, too.
Yes. I researched that. That was a little fun, actually.
So you're ahead of the curve, honestly, for somebody, even chef-wise, food-wise. I'm like menu. And then, you know, you think equipment, food, or really food, equipment, and then menu. And then you get into sort of what you want the rest of the concept to be. But
yeah,
you just dove right in, didn't you?
We did. AJ and I, it's funny, we met in a restaurant. This year will be 19 years ago.
You have a talent.
And so we end up somehow always working at the same place. and this time it was like we've been given this awesome opportunity, and we just dove in. Like you said, we just jumped for it. We were like, let's do it. So, and we're riding out with it. We have the paninis, we've got the clubs, salads, soup, and we also have, which I'm so excited about, Italian Cubans. Ice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Italian ice?
We do.
Is that from the local company people that are making it?
It's Honey Hill.
Yes. Very cool.
So they are our distributors for that.
All right, so Cubans, by the way, got to be on a sandwich menu, right? Philly, yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Chicken Bacon Ranch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gordon Bleu. Cordon Bleu. What'd you eat? Did you try anything yet?
Not yet. I'm not going to.
Dig in, man.
But no. The thing is, what I want to ask a couple of questions.
Yeah.
I just want to say, so really, 21 days... So, wow, to design, mm-hmm. get that printed, get the turnaround.
Now, I do know, they were working on some recipes and stuff a little bit before.
Okay, gotcha.
So some of the preliminary, it was done, but that's only because I know things around here.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
it comes to food, especially.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
Like got the key to the place and did it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's faster than Outback. I think Outback's like 31 days or something. Literally, they can build and open an Outback in 31 days.
Well, wow. And I have to tell you, I obviously we want success like we were just talking about earlier. You look for the sales. Sales are going really well to have our soft opening. The grand opening is going to be August the 18th. But I have to tell you that if we are successful, as I think, I'm pretty sure we will be, I'm going to do a truck.
Yeah.
So I really can't wait. I mean, cool. I'm so excited.
We got a big parking lot here at the studios, by mm-hmm. the way. Just FYI.
I would bring it.
Okay. So paninis and such, when the website is done, paninis and paninisandsuch.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, so you have the menu. Do you have online ordering? Can they do that through?
There will be. Yes.
Paninis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Pickup orders.
I know another guy you get to talk to today too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man, I'm telling you.
Okay.
We're on fire here at Business Radio X Studios here in Pensacola. Yeah. Well, apparently now we know three. Joel's over here raising his hand.
Told not to smack, but.
What are you eating?
I'm eating the club, right?
Well, the turkey.
Speak in the microphone so they can hear you.
He's got the turkey Gouda melt.
I got the turkey Gouda, whatever. It's amazing. And the honey mustard here, I'm a honey mustard fan.
Do you make it?
Out of the world. Do you make it? This world.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. You got to.
Okay, then the sandwich is even better than.
The sandwich is better?
The sandwich is amazing. It's fresh. It's really what you look for when you want something lighter.
Hot,
not
crisp.
Not heavy and stuff like that.
Light bread.
Probably most your lunches or late afternoon somethings, I would say mm-hmm. absolutely. All day long.
I think lunch is probably my main meal.
Same here.
Like breakfast is an option.
Yeah.
You know, coffee is never, but breakfast is an option. And then dinner's like something to nosh on before I go to bed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
I'm actually, we're thinking, since we're all new and everything, and it is ours, so we can kind of do what we want, I'm thinking about introducing breakfast, actually.
Yeah.
And doing some bagels, maybe croissants, breakfast burrito kind of thing.
You're in a pretty heavy traffic. Actually, mm-hmm. Greg could tell you if you're in a heavy traffic area for breakfast, but, you know, as a chef, you never want to do breakfast because I'm not a morning guy, right?
Yeah.
And for a chef, breakfast was like 4:30 in the morning. You're up and showered and out the door and hopefully there by 5.
That's actually what AJ said.
Yeah. See, so now, okay.
That's why it's in conversation.
That is a product of the lunch and night crew, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, the night crew is always better than the day crew.
Yes.
I don't care what you said. So, and the breakfast crew, well, they were even worse than the lunch crew, right? Because they were like, hey, it's 1 o'clock. We're out of here. We don't have to clean up or do anything, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, just a little factoid here. I started back in the day in junior high school at a Wendy's. And then I have my degree in nutrition and food science. And since we shared space with the food technology folks, we also had to do a project where we had to build up a kitchen.
Cool.
You know, actually, so when you were saying that you from zero to, I was thinking about, okay, all right, so you got to get this, you got to get that. What's going to be the hours to get that installed? You know, so I was already thinking about the numbers of installation or retrofitting, doing whatever else you had to do. And so I'm excited. I'm very happy for you. That's amazing still.
Well, I do have to say that the equipment and things, it was like a ready kitchen. So I do, you know.
Sure, sure.
That was kind of there.
Yeah.
I just had to add some toasters and then the panini, like, plates on right. the grills. Thank the Lord. But and then we brought the electrofreeze machine back for the Italian ice.
Yes.
Yeah. So
which, by the way, makes really good celebrities if you change the formula a little bit. Just a little really? Chef trick for you down the road. Yep.
Okay.
And well, for those late kinda... nights when you're cleaning.
Yeah.
Call me.
Okay. I will do that.
Yeah. There's ways to motivate the crew, I promise.
I also brought, because we have in our little cooler behind the cashiers there, we do carry Jones soda. So I thought it'd be fun to bring a few of these. Everybody loves cream soda, obviously. But
I don't.
Really?
Oh, I can't stand it.
What? That's one of my favorites.
I remember delicious. Back in the day, my mom drinking... was the cream soda. It used to be like have like a brown color back when they had
yeah, it was syrup. Like yeah, it was root beer or cream soda yeah, or they yeah. had even worse the orange sickle.
Oh, see, you don't like that. I love that.
Gross.
This one is bubblegum. Have fun
yeah,
with it.
No. Not my daughter drinks that one.
I just thought it
yeah, have fun.
Can I ask what you put in the potato salad? It's like a bacon mayo.
It is. That's bacon, scallions, the salt and pepper.
You had me a bacon.
And then the love skin the potato salad. Is,
yeah.
The
we don't even need the potatoes,
so
man. Right?
Try the potato salad. You'll say
awesome.
No.
The coleslaw looks really good, too. And I know that's a thing here, especially in the South. But people are relative to their coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you either got it or you don't.
Right.
It's
so
like
far,
it's like tomato sauce is
like
in
it.
Italy. Everyone is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what else? What did you eat yet?
Yeah, I'm eating right now.
Okay. Well, I had the club.
You got this, the apple Jones soda there too, right?
I do. The green
yeah,
apple.
See,
I'll be
so
there every
Joel
day.
Loves this stuff,
I do
man.
Have the green apple Jones soda, yep. And then that one over there.
I can't believe.
Thank you for not
Keith
bringing the
chef.
Biscuits and gravy Lays or the whatever the other weird flavors are this month.
Yeah, I tend to like the old-fashioned flavors, and I think most people do too, so that's what we keep around. The sour cream onion barbecue.
Okay.
Salt and vinegar.
So I think people need to know, first of all, you'll see pictures because we'll post them on our site at pensacola.businessradiox.com. And we also will post them on the Grubhub site as well, correct?
Yay.
So Grubhub.tv, which is one of the things.
We,
yeah. Awesome day for
to
you
talk
today.
About. Yeah.
But so you'll be able to see the size, but here you go. All right. And I say this every day. If I ate out every day or if I ate at every networking event that, you know, was at a restaurant or whatever, I would go broke, right? Because it's a lot of money. This says I can eat for $8.
Mm-hmm. And it comes with a side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, soups, $3.95, salads, $8.25, cold clubs, $7.95. All right. So, which is this big triple decker thing right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good.
Awesome.
Bring in the old school stuff back.
Cuban for $7.95. Seriously. Hummus and veggie for those of you that, you know, want to be miserable and not like meat. I'm sorry. Here comes the chef out at me, you know. Turkey Gouda melt, again, $7.95. Awesome. Awesome. That's, in fact, that's the highest price on them is $8.25 for salads, correct?
Yeah.
Which is understandable because produce fluctuates, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that do not know.
Yes, it does.
Like, fluctuates like by the hour.
We have avocado available too. Like you can add avocado to anything. You don't like avocado?
No,
either.
I'm sorry, and I don't mean to like, disrespect anything
buds.
That
There's
we're talking about today. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen, this food is good. I have a serious problem with hard-boiled eggs, avocado, and whatever the other one was that I just said. Oh, cream soda. Yeah.
So is it a texture thing?
No, it's an absolute smell, flavor, and life experience in that order.
Okay.
And it's so weird because he's a chef.
I know.
25 years.
Oh, I can understand them, and I've had to profile them, but absolutely will shake you if you put anywhere near my peas and carrots, dude. You know, and I'm okay with like the, you know, the gravy runs over onto the steak, all that stuff, dude. Those three things, nope, just not happening. It'll be in the book.
I'm so anxious to read the book.
I'm so anxious to finish writing the book.
Yeah.
And by finish, I mean start.
Well, I know one step at a time. So are there any looks if this takes off to open up another location or?
Yeah. Yes, there is. So, yeah. I mean, but like
one
you
step,
said, one
step
at
a time.
Yeah. Because my brain's already overloaded. So I start thinking of that. I'm like, good Lord. You know, but if so, yes, obviously that's the dream.
She will have minions of paninis all over the place.
Yes.
I cannot wait for the truck. Seriously.
Yeah.
I think that's a
now that
great
has
idea.
Been
I love the food truck movement. Mm-hmm. I love the street corner vendor stuff, food changing for whatever's fresh in the market or that
for,
morning.
Taste for the cause. You
know? Yeah.
Well, great promotion there.
There you go.
I want the first franchise, and since it's the first, I shouldn't have to pay to get it.
Okay. I don't think that's how it works. In fact, I think you're going to pay the most.
Yeah. Well, I was watching something on Apple TV. I think it was National Geographic Channel or something, but there was a great – they did a couple of documentaries mm-hmm. on the food truck movement out in California
yeah.
and just how, you know, when I say wild, I mean just diverse.
Yes.
You have these great chefs mm-hmm. who are bringing this incredible food that you could only get at this, you know, wait
for
8 days.
For limited time only.
You know, if it's fresh, they get it.
And when it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone.
So
it's amazing. And you know,
he's pulling the heartstrings right now, man.
Yeah.
That's it, dude.
When I lived out in Cali.
That's what got me into it.
You had these guys who had the stoves, the Michelin stars, flat stoves.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Full-on productions.
Make the fresh burger, uh-huh. make it all that kind of stuff. And right off the grill, yeah. it wasn't packed. You had some packaged stuff, but it was really awesome, man. Mm-hmm. You look forward to it. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, I don't feel like driving down the road.
Yeah.
I'll just wait for him to get here.
I'll tell you what, I grew up obviously in an Italian family with lots of food background. And then on the other side was German and French and Native Americans. I mean, food was, it has been my life. It's been everybody's life, whether they realize it or not. Mm-hmm. Food is the probably one common factor in everybody's life in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
It is also where some of the most powerful things that have ever happened in not only your lifetime, but the existence of mankind, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many things have been done over a dinner table? How many deals have been done over lunch? How many negotiations for world peace happened over tea or crumpets yes. or whatever? So it's undeniably ingrained into all of our lives. But when you can create a taste memory through, oh my gosh, I had this one time and it's never come back again, right? Because it was just fresh that morning and it grew on that plant over there and that plant over there is gone. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff that the food yeah. truck dudes do, or it's like, oh my gosh, I've only got these 10 things and it's like I'm in college again. What am I going to make? Except mm-hmm. the 10 things that they've got are really good 10 things, you know? And then you just every day and every dish is different.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that it was prepared differently. It was a different philosophy. You know what I mean? So,
well, in a different experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I, you know, and the ways that chefs cook and the ways that cooks cook, it's like you got emotion and heart in it. It's just such a different level for me than most people are like, oh, that restaurant's good or that's that or that's this. And it's, to me, man, it's an entire mm-hmm. design of somebody's inner being. And mm-hmm. So you watch the food truck guys happen or that movie Chef where, you know, the corporate duplicating America or whatever just destroys that artist that's inside you that you may not even realize is the artist inside you. And then you watch these guys go, dude, screw it. I'm doing it because for the love of doing it, man, they come up with some of the greatest. I've had some of the best food made from the bottom of somebody's, you know, pits, dude, you know, no money to cover rent, none of this, but man, I can spend the $3 and really make a $50 meal.
Well, yeah. I remember living in the San Francisco Bay Area. You go to Chinatown in San Francisco, yeah. literally just drop a nickel, just let it go, and you say, okay, I'm going to, wherever
yeah.
it lands,
yeah, wherever it lands, I'm eating.
It's going to be good food, man. yeah. And, you know, being a single, you know, 20-year-old guy, you know, me and my buddies would go out there and, you know, for $4, get this big yeah. thing. And but it was, you know, you hear them speaking Chinese in the background. You hear yeah. old mama out there just,
yep.
you know, so, but anyway.
But everybody can speak in food, right?
Yeah, everybody
yeah. You know what a bowl of chicken noodle soup does. You know what a bowl of pho, Vietnamese pho, if you've had it, you know exactly what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what rice flavored, you know, yellow rice is yeah, usually yeah. set, right? But you can speak to those kinds of feelings. So. We've got, I'm so glad, this is awesome, by the
Thank
way.
You.
This is paninisandsuch.com, and I'm at 21 days. That's awesome.
Thank
Fantastic.
You so much.
So now I know why he never leaves the kitchen, right? Because he's there cooking all day long.
Well, you know what's funny is he works in the kitchen at home, but he has a rule. I mean, I'm sorry, at work. He works in the kitchen at work, but at home, he won't step foot in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I will when I feel like getting creative now, you know? Right?
Yeah.
But what, I tell you what, I find myself doing the dishes more than anything else now because that's like the relax for me, right?
Mm-hmm. I like doing dishes myself.
Yeah. So Calvin's over there shaking his head no.
But can I just ask Diane a question?
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
So when did you know, you know, having worked in restaurants in the past and had family involved in restaurant mm-hmm. business and I would help out and stuff, I know what it's like to be in that kitchen,
yeah.
whether you're just making the salad and not getting off your feet for, you know, for 8 hours,
right.
What drove you to say, okay, we're going to, I'm going to stay in this business.
My own place.
Yeah.
I actually started college.
I got tired of listening to everybody else tell me what to do. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
You can say it. Be honest.
I did life a little backwards. I had my son young. And so I went to college when he was in school, elementary school. And I did some office work. I was a title clerk. I was a notary public. Mm-hmm. I did accounting. I was a property manager. It just wasn't the thing. I like to interact with people. I like to meet people. I like to talk to people. And how you said earlier, you like to hear stories. I love people's story. Every person that you meet has a story. You just never know what it is. So I just enjoy serving people in general. But then to, you know, they're happy. When they're eating food, they're happy. Like you said, everybody yeah. speaks food. So everyone has to eat. And yeah. 9 out of 10 times, they're super excited and happy about their food. So I just enjoy working with people in general and just meeting new people and serving them a good product. So, and like I said, I guess it just runs through our blood.
Oh, it's definitely a yeah, disease.
It does. It just
not in a bad way either, but yeah. it is a, yeah, it is a, I'm with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Adrenaline. I got yeah. addicted to the adrenaline, the fast pace, the moving, the,
exactly.
the multitasking, the, mm-hmm. you know, the plates are clearing, the tickets are, and I, now I sound like we're on Foodie Life Radio, dude, because this is exactly the kind of stuff we talk about. So,
but it's true because you have that lunch rush, you know, those two and a half, 3 hours that you're just like, wah!
Yeah.
You know, but when it's over, you're like, oh,
beer. Yeah, yeah, beer right, me.
Right. What happened, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was happy. No complaints. You know, no one cut their finger off. Good. We had a good day. You
know? Okay. So you guys are open now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So yeah, from, what are your hours?
10 to 7 Monday through Friday, 11 to 4 Saturday, and 11 to 3 on Sunday.
Wow. She even went for the Sunday.
Yeah. And we didn't do bad on our first Sunday. Man, I was
that,
really
that
impressed.
That is a business woman right there. The other guy, the chef at home, is like, dude, no. Uh-uh. You better find somebody to work that shift. So, well, congratulations. I am really excited. And I'm telling y'all, you guys need to go check this out. Paninis and Such. I got a feeling she's going to end up on a, you're going to end up on a Grub on TV episode.
Yay.
Or a Grub Ninja site somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, or, okay, City Spree. They can call City Spree and get it delivered.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes.
Mr. Ron and Sweet. Patty and RJ are there taking one, good care of everybody.
One more question. How much seating do you have? 1 million.
In the store, it's pretty small. It's like uh-huh. a little cafe. So we have seating for about 25.
Well, that's okay, though. I mean, it's a small networking group. Mm-hmm. You can go there and hang out. And
absolutely.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also cater.
And we do our
so,
caterings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks for coming and hanging out.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Sorry,
you brought
I was
food.
Late. You were, you're changing.
All Greg brought was a
me.
Really cool story. I mean, at least I get to eat.
Yeah.
So. Okay, you guys, you can find us at Pcola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at Pcola BRX on Facebook. You can find us at Pensacola.businessradiox.com. And if you would like to see any of these pictures or the stories from today on the food side, we will have things up on the Foodie Life Radio Network as well as GrubOn.tv. And I want to thank both of you again for coming and hanging out this morning. And
you're welcome.
I'm going to eat lunch, guys. So mm-hmm. this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.